The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
All right, welcome to another edition of a Tuesday Night Real Racing USA Live, right here from the Real Racing USA studios. We had kind of a slow week in racing for us, Jack. Well, you were out all over the place. Not much racing, though, except for those horses.
Yeah, horse racing, man. What a trip.
That's been in the news all over. This horse...
That was like Babe Ruth striking out four times in a row.
Right, yeah, they look pretty serious. These guys are talking about how if he's leading, he's winning. If he's not leading, he's losing.
And now talking, of course, about War Pass, the horse is favored to win the Kentucky Derby.
Not anymore. He's
until
seven.
Until the other day.
Yeah.
Boy, he just said, "Screw y'all! I'm gonna give me something to eat. I'm gonna hang out here.
Yeah, give me something to do."
But the coolest thing, man, was I followed Tiger Woods around, and that was a thrill.
Yeah, I bet that was awesome.
That was a thrill. It really was a thrill. I felt like a kid, man.
Yeah.
It was a thrill.
Yeah, that guy right there, man, I mean, out of all the people in sports, he's been through some tough times, but he's won, 43 out of 46 majors or whatever it is?
He's on a winning streak now. He's either, depending on which sports writer... you're talking to, the consensus pretty much he's got six wins in a row, and he's favored heavily over Doral Country Club this weekend in Miami.
Wow, that's awesome.
But he is an impressive athlete. There's no question about that.
No doubt about it. This past weekend, Sebring, Porsche back in the winner's circle there after, I don't know, 12 years or so. Big news for them. The really big news is that Roger Penske won the Daytona 500, and now he's won Sebring. So he's got an Indy 500, a Daytona 500, and he won Sebring. So Penske's on a roll.
Which cars were the top top cars?
Porsche. Porsche triumphed. It's been 20 years since Porsche won.
Sebring International Raceway, what a place.
Oh,
it is a place.
It is a place, no doubt about it. Terry Labonte's talking about coming back. He didn't last long. These guys are like junkies with this stuff. Friday night, we went up to Orlando. Going to do our first Sun Belt race up there. And Mother Nature was not kind. But we did get to sit down and have a nice dinner with Don Nerone.
Yeah, Don Nerone, one of the promoters from well-known in the southern United States. Actually, he's well-known all over the eastern United States.
Absolutely, with his Crash-O-Ramas too, and... yeah. The other things he does, I tell you what, Jack, this little Motor Wars thing is being viewed all over the country right now.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Yeah.
Motor Wars, of course, was a show we did last week. Started 2 weeks ago with Wayne Anderson making some comments that led to almost an entire show done on the super late model motors and what kind of motors should people run and whatnot. And we had the two of the motor builders involved, McGonagall and Progressive, Steve McGinnis from Progressive.
Yeah, and Jeff Choquette was on. We had Rob Elting. Now, yeah, I listened to last night's show on Inside Florida Racing, and, we got all these guys are talking about this spec motor, that spec motor, this one's cheated up, this one's not cheated up. I think, and I have to agree with Rob, go back to the claim rule. Go back, be able to claim. I mean, if the motors are supposed to be equal, put a $1,000 claim on these guys' motors and tell them, look, here you go, $1,000, I want that motor.
Yeah, or at least be able to just to swap them out or buy them out or whatever. Because,
right.
We were getting to a point in that thing. I don't know if you were picking up on that, but one of the guy drivers driving a crate motor, because people talk to us all the time about this stuff.
And, right.
These crate motors are not all equal.
Yeah. Well, Wayne Anderson couldn't keep up with a crate motor.
There is no doubt, and anybody who wants to argue that point can argue it. I mean, you don't have to know a whole bunch about motors to know that all them crate motors ain't equal.
No. Period. None of these motors are created equal. Right? Well, I'm sure there are. But I'm sure there are people, and after extensive talking with a lot of people, some of these motors are opened up, and some of them are playing around with them, no doubt about it.
it's like Jim Hanks from Must See Racing. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was commenting on the show, and he made the point that, in general terms, that anytime you go down the road of trying to legislate morality in people, it ain't going to work.
Forget it.
If there's a way for a race car driver to get an enhancement, forget about it.
Imagine if Larry Flynn owned a race team.
You heard what I said about the urinals, didn't you?
Yeah, and the pissing contest. Ratings are up for Bristol this past weekend. They posted a plus 2% gain over the same race a year ago. So good deal for NASCAR. Dick Trickle is skipping some races this season. Dick Trickle had plans to run select races in the Midwest this summer, but those plans will put on hold. WorkPhotos.net has been told Dick Trickle had to have heart surgery, in which two stents were put in. Trickle won't be able to wheel a car this season, per doctor orders. Trickle has drove a car prepared by Tim Roth over the last couple of seasons and has told Roth not to prepare a car for him, as it will be taken off this year. And what else have we got coming up here?
What you got there, Rick?
I'm just perusing websites right at the moment.
Let me throw one at you while you're perusing.
Okay.
This past week, the big announcement was made. I mean, this is almost one of those things I'm sure a lot of people cried a tear over it. Wall Speedway finally closed.
Yeah, I read that.
And we have with us Walter Elliott. From up that way, who has the insight. Welcome to Real Racing USA, Walter.
Well, thanks a lot. It's good to be here. I just wish the occasion was somewhat different.
No doubt about it, man. That's almost a tragedy up there. That Speedway's been there so long.
Well, yes, the Speedway has been competitive. It has a lot of history, and it has been part of the national grassroots thing. I mean, we had drivers like this, Bobby Allison, Frankie Schneider, the Petties, the Allisons, Gail Hearn, Richie Evans, more modern days we have, Jimmy Spencer, we have Martin Truex Jr. who came up through the ranks, we had Ray Vanderhan come up through the ranks, and, the list just goes on and on.
Now, what is the demise of the racetrack? What's the problem that's causing this racetrack to finally shut the doors?
Well, all right, I have to speak for myself on this one, my observation. I've been following the Speedway during the new management for half the new management tenure. They came aboard in the winter 2002 when the founding Nicole family sold the track to them for some $3.4 million or thereabouts. Anyway, I've also been the official results writer just this past season. The general partners are four partners. They each have 25% of shares of the property and the ownership. And with general partnership, it appears that you have to have a general consensus in order to go forward with any plans. And over the winter, there may have been some disagreements or a lack of consensus. Now, a story that's been floating around in the last week has been that they were close to having a plan worked out, not only for having Wall Speedway open this year, but also for the foreseeable future. And that, for some reason, fell apart on Friday afternoon.
And it's just a done deal. That's it. There's no chance at all.
Well, right now, it doesn't look very good. The way Tim Shin wrote the letter announcing the Speedway's closing in on Friday on WaltSpeedway.com, the tone of it, and the way I interpret the tone, was that this is it. Walt Speedway joins the growing roster of racetracks that have closed, have gone by the wayside.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, how were the car counts? How were the fan counts there?
Well, let's see. The last three or four years, the car counts have been pretty much holding their own. I mean, it's it went up and down, and and part of it was very sensitive to any actual or perceived notion of all the plants for the track. A case in point, back in 2005, a developer wanted to come in and started putting up materials advocating a replacing the skiway with a combined residential and commercial housing. Well, that was it turns out to be a non-starter because in order to get that approved by the township of Wall, the township of Wall would have to change the zoning to accept residential use, and the Wall Township zoning people said, no way. But that was enough for at least some people to stay away in terms of spectator count.
Now, what kind of impact is this going to have on the township of Wall?
Well, let's see here. There was a report in one of the mainstream papers, and I'm trying to get this confirmed, that Wall Township Seaways, I don't have the property tax payments in front of me, but I was told today that the Seaway, in terms of ratables, was among the top 25 properties that brought tax income to the township, but not a top 10. So it would be a hit, but not a huge hit.
Let me ask you again now. You were talking about housing. Are you saying that housing can't be put in there?
That's correct. Housing cannot be put in because Wall Township Seaway, the 50-acre lot that sits in, is zoned for industrial use.
Mm.
And in order to have residential use, the developer would have to ask the township zone officers and zone planners to change the zoning on the zoning map.
And where exactly is Wall Speedway located?
Okay, all right. Wall Speedway is approximately 60 miles south of New York City, and approximately 70 miles northeast of Philadelphia.
I gotcha.
It is about 6 miles west from the Atlantic Ocean and the town of Belmar. It is in an area where it is zoned for commercial industrial use. You still have some traces of pine barrens and woods there. Residential scattered out there in that neighborhood, and the nearest house, I think, is like a half mile to three-quarters mile away. So basically, noise was never an issue. If noise was an issue, they not have to close the Seaway, but also the Owler Airport, which is a small airport across the street.
Wow.
Now, so what is the future of the Speedway? I mean, are they going to sell it? What are they going to do?
Well, that's a big question that everyone's answering, and no one knows anything. The four partners have not put out submitted a plan to the zoning department or the planning department of Wall Township. So we don't know. It might be used right now. Part of the time that is used for storage and movement of the general partners companies that they own. Now the general partners, two of the general partners, are very well known highway construction firms throughout New Jersey. There doesn't seem to be a major highway project or transit project without those two partners. The third partner is a steel erector. He just brings in steel and puts the buildings up. The fourth partner, the managing partner, Tim Shin, he is the owner of a crane rental company in Kenilworth. And those are the cast of those are the foursome right there.
Do they have a background in motorsports, these guys?
Tim Shin used to be a car owner. His United, in fact, even up to this year, his United Crane Rental Company had partially sponsored John Blewett, the late John Blewett III, and Jimmy Blewett's racing efforts, and some others.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Archer did some sponsorship too as well. Shin was also a car owner. The other two partners, Joseph Sanzari and the Creamer brothers, they're three brothers, their 25% is divided among them. They had sponsored race cars up into this past season.
What has been the response from the fans in the area and the drivers?
The fans and the competitors have a gamut of feelings, because part of the situation is that the four partners have kept pretty much quiet amongst themselves about getting up, about having a new future for Wall Speedway, and as a result, the competitors and fans were sort of waiting. Some were already working on their cars, and some were trying not to go to other Saturday nights or other asphalt tracks in the area. The reaction has been, it's run the gamut. Sadness, definite sadness about seeing the last full size paved oval in New Jersey go. Also about the racing heritage and the entertainment value of the place. There's some anger, and the anger has been directed all over the place.
Yeah.
You take your pick. I'm surprised I'm not even on that list yet.
Well, you know,
and I almost have, I'm pretty much in the Bob Uecker seat on this matter.
Well, Walter, to me, I think a little anger would be in order, because the old lady didn't even get a fair send off. At least when Hialeah Speedway, which had been open for 50 some years in South Florida, and I'm sure you've heard of Hialeah Speedway.
Oh yes, I have.
Well, at least
about it quite a bit.
At least a few years ago, when she closed down, we had a big party. 8,000 to 10,000 people showed up. There was 3,000 people in the pits. They had to have the Miami Hialeah police force out there clearing the roads, because it was just it was insane. But you know what? At least it had a send-off. My God.
I would like to see each track have a send-off if it's going to go on its way out. We only got a case in point. The first home track that I lost was Pine Brook Speedway. In fact, it'll be 19 years in October that we lost that old 10th-mile Pays Oval, C2 Midget and Microsoft track. In Montague Township, New Jersey. That's up in Morris County, near on the banks of the Passaic River. The landowner found a way of breaking the lease with the track promoter, and then this person seemingly owned half the land in Montague Township and a couple of other towns. And he put in some fill on the property, and he persuaded the promoter to close 1 week early so they can dismantle the grandstand so they can use the dirt to round it to make more of like a bowl. Well, long story short, that track never reopened, and it took a long, long, long time for the ultimate fate of this track, which was in 2002-2003, then became a Home Depot.
Yeah.
The racetrack site is underneath the garden section. Ironically, Tony Stewart started some of his racing career. Form his career with C2 Midget.
Yeah.
I don't know. Remember last winter we were against this whole business with Atomic Speedway in Tennessee.
Sure.
I don't know if Atomic got a proper send off in the fall races. So I would love to see a send off, but it isn't always in the cards.
Yeah. So Walter, who all do you write for? What publications do you write for?
Okay, well, I write for Area Ultra Racing News out of Trenton, New Jersey. I also write with Byline as a correspondent for National Speed Sport News. That's right, the Chris paper.
Sure.
And I also do some freelance work in various and sundry publications and websites.
Well, very good. And
I'm liable to cover anything from quarter midgets and go-karts up to Formula One and NASCAR Sprint Cup and almost anything in between.
Well, we will certainly stay in touch with you as the racing season progresses, and particularly if any major developments come up with this thing. We got your press release the other day, and continue to let us know what's going on, and we'll stay up with you throughout the year, and maybe call on you for some other important news from up north.
Well, before you go, On one hand, it is a sad day because we are down to two full-size dirt oval tracks in New Jersey. On the positive side, on the positive light, one of those tracks, Dietrich Speedway, there's some talk going around. I'm trying to confirm this. Talk that they're going to be a quarter-inch track for the young kids to get involved in racing. This might be the future home of the Garden State Quarter Midget Racing Club. I'm going to find out about this. Right now, the Garden State Quarter Midgets are still allowed to run on the wall property on Little Wall, a 120th paved oval on the property because they have a separate insurance policy for the time being. Also keep in mind that part of the plans for New Jersey Motorsports Park, Thunderbolt Raceway, way down in Millville, that's in the southwestern corner of the state, the second phase of the plan is supposed to include a special event, three-quarter mile flyoval.
Wow.
And they might see that come to fruition in 5 to 10 years. And who knows? Maybe they'll get a weekly quarter mile or some other short track for weekly racing down there.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Right.
Yep.
All right, Walter.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the only answer I have to say is support your local racetrack or racing venue.
Absolutely.
That might be.
No doubt. They're going fast.
All right. Thanks a lot, Walter. I really appreciate it.
Have a good, safe one, gentlemen.
You too.
You too.
Walter Elliott.
Wow. You know, I mean, the thing about Wall Township, it's synonymous with modified racing. I mean, you know, the modified reunion, the guy that was up at New Smyrna.
Jimmy,
I mean,
Jimmy Blewett there. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's sad news. And you know, it's not an economical problem. It's a disagreement. It sounds like four partners can't agree, and are just saying to hell with it, and they're just shutting down that speedway. Don't forget about Pandora Jewelers, a name you can trust since 1976. They are the sponsor of Inside Florida Racing's Driver of the Month. Last month, Shane Williams. The month before, Jeff Choquette. Their phone number is 800-446-8129. Pandora Jewelers, once again, the sponsor of the Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month. And let's see, what else is in the news? Labonte coming back, Jed Edge is winning. Looks like Kenny Wallace has lost another ride.
I'll come back here.
Tough break for Kenny.
Hey, Rick, we have a wall of a different sort.
All right.
Mr. Skip Wall from, of course, SouthernMotorRacing.com. Skip Wall.
Guys, how you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing good. We just got off the phone. We were talking with Walter Elliott, who's a sports writer up from Northeast, and about the closing of Wall Speedway, and that was a tough announcement that came out here this week.
But, you know, I heard a little bit about that, guys. Even here in North Carolina, they had some film clips on it on TV, and you know what a great loss, because that was rich in modified heritage as well.
Yep.
That track's really going to be missed.
Yeah, four owners, and they just couldn't get together on things. And at least as of right now, it's closed. So what's happening in Southern Motor Racing world, man?
Well, we got a lot going on. We're starting to get into the racing season, and can't wait for it. I'm at a restaurant. I have Mr. Scott Rigby. They decided to move over to the wing of Southern Modified. And we'll try to get him on the show if we can here within an hour.
Oh, is that right?
If we can fit him in, I'd love to get him on here. It's not that often that I come across different race drivers.
Yeah. Can we do that right now, or is that something we need to do in a little bit?
We'll have to do that in a little bit.
Okay, that'll be fine. We'll do that. But so meanwhile, we talked to you last week about some startling news that turned out to be an upside-down fruitcake about the Hooters Pro Cup.
Well, Jack, how do you like to eat crow?
Well, wait a minute now. I'm not eating no crow. I'm eating a microphone. What do you
eat?
Well, you know, I was telling you last week that I was trying to get to the bottom of it. There was a lot going on, and there were some things going on within the Hooters Pro Cup. Of course, we know that they got 32 cars, which filled their field, but there was a lot of cars missing, and most of that is because of the new Super Cup Stock Car Series come about.
Yeah.
But also, there was some talk about the Hooters chain being sold, and going with that would be the Hooters Pro Cup Series. And we got to the mill on that. What's happening is a company called Chanticleer is buying 22 franchises of the Hooters chain, which does not include Hooters of America. And so, therefore, the USAR Hooters Pro Cup Series is saved for now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I saw two positive things out of the Hooters Pro Cup race at Lakeland, Skip. One was that there was some good new talent. Travis Kittleson made his first start, and Travis is a hell of a race car driver, and he's one good guy too. He's a good guy to have in your series no matter what. And Scotty Crockett and some other youngsters. And another good thing happened may not be good for him, but good for us, I think, is we might be able to talk to our buddy Michael Rich again.
Yes, indeed. Michael Rich got a new sponsor this year, and I don't know what their feelings are about how they want to promote their driver, but Miss Becky Cecil's no longer with them, to my knowledge, and so Michael may be able to come on some of our shows now and really talk about racing the way we know Michael Rich.
Yeah, we like to talk to Michael because he's not only is he's a great guy out on the track and fun to watch, but he is a good interview, too, all the time. He always tells it like it is.
And, if Michael can hang in there, he could be a very serious threat to being the national title holder this year, other than just being the Southern champion.
Yeah.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
So from what I understand, Benny Gordon benefited from some other people's misfortune in able to get that win in the Hooters Pro Cup.
Well, Benny Gordon is always tough. No matter where he races at, he's always tough. And, he comes from the Northern Series and wanted to practice up on his skills and get ready for the Northern season. And he comes south to pay them back like they did him last year with Mark McFarland going up and winning some of the Northern races. Well, Benny came from the North and he wins the first Southern race. So our hat's off to Benny Gordon and the Du Bois Pennsylvania bunch.
Now, there was this young lady, the Super Cup Series, which you're covering, started, I guess, last week they raced, a week ago Saturday, and Megan Rettenauer took the win.
Megan did win the race, and she did it with just three laps to go in the race and pulled this thing off and put the big upset on everybody and really, really got this season going off good. Very good competitive race, Jack.
I'll tell you what, Skip, why don't you hang on a minute? Rick, do you have some news items over there that you could take care of while I see if I can get Megan on the line with us?
Yeah, awesome. I got a couple of things.
Right, hang on just a minute, Skip.
Darrell Waltrip's going to get the old number 11 Mountain Dew Buick Regal presented to him. Waltrip, who leads all drivers with 12 wins at Bristol Motor Speedway, received a surprise gift from Ralph Santana, media and IMG on behalf of the Mountain Dew Racing. Waltrip is currently a television analyst from Fox. He was presented the number 11 Mountain Dew Regal. He drove back-to-back championship seasons in 81 and 82. Now going to Bristol, some of the commercial breakdown of the Bristol Food City 500. Total number of commercials were 127. Total number of companies or entities advertised, 63. Total number of brief promos or product services during the race broadcast, 42. Total amount of time these brief promos take during the broadcast, approximately 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So, minutes of broadcast, 138. Minutes of commercials, 58. So almost half of the race was commercials. Also, Dale Jarrett, retired from racing, NASCAR anyway, full-time, was his final points race at Bristol. He then told drivers to enjoy careers because we have one time in this, and mine has been fantastic. Jarrett was the 1999 Cup champion and also honored during practice and introductions.
All right, we did it.
You did it.
Yeah, we actually we tracked down Megan Rettenauer. And Skip, go take it away, man.
Megan, are you out there?
Yeah.
Have you come down to Earth yet?
Yeah, I have.
Megan, we congratulate you on your first win in the Super Cup Stock Car Series. How does it feel?
It feels good. It was a good race, and my team did a great job on the car, and we were able to get a win.
You came out there, you spun out, and you take all the blame of that accident with Ryan Miller. What did you learn about that?
Those cars are a lot bigger than what I've been driving, and I made a mistake, and obviously I've learned from it, and it won't happen again.
You know, Mark Nesbitt, the owner of your car, had nothing but praise for you, that this young lady will absolutely listen to you, and apparently it worked well with both of you communicating together, and along with your spotter. You come all the way back from spinning that, and you picked them off one by one. Tell us about it.
Yeah, on lap 23, I believe, or it was a 27 that I spun out. We went in the pits, and we made a tri-floor adjustment, and we lowered the air pressures and went back out on the track. And on lap 97, I believe it was, I took over the lead and was able to go to victory lane.
Cool.
Megan, what happens from here? You pull off your first win. You make the series really look good with a female driver coming on board. What was the reaction in the pits with all the other drivers?
All the other drivers were really encouraging, and they told me great job, and we celebrated in victory lane. A lot of them came over and told me great job.
And your mom was in the car, Howard, the whole time. She couldn't come out and watch you race.
No, she gets a little upset.
Did you have to work hard? Did you have to work hard in that car?
I was so tired after I got out of the car. They had to pull me out. I was so tired. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot more challenging.
What happens from here? Do you go to these other races with this same type of confidence to feel like that you can run in the top five again like that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go and look at every race to be a good race, and hopefully we can get some more victories. We got to get some sponsorship behind us before we can go to any more races, but we definitely hope to do good.
And give us a little plug of your sponsors over the weekend.
Over last weekend, Purple, drinkpurple.com sponsored me, and the Hampton Inn and Morganton sponsored me.
And when is the next race for the Super Cups?
I believe it's in 4 weeks. It's in Newport, Tennessee.
Newport, Tennessee. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot different. I heard it's like 30-degree banking, and I haven't drove that yet. So I think we have to go test tires here in a few weeks.
Yeah, that must be one of them places up in the mountains. When you get up in the mountains, all them tracks are banked. I guess that's just...
Yeah, they just dig into the mountain.
They just dig in the side of a mountain. They're all banked up in there.
Now, Megan, you're running on radials on these cars, right?
Yeah.
Is that a whole lot different than what you're used to?
Yes, they're good for the first, like, 30 laps. After that, they get a little bad, but the Legend didn't. When I drove Legends, they didn't really stick, so it's all right. We're used to it.
It's just a few thousand pounds difference between that car and the Legend, right?
Yes. That's a big difference.
All right. That's pretty cool. Go ahead, Skip.
Megan, how about the Nesbitt? They've worked with Michelle Theory out in the past. They worked with a couple other drivers. How are they to work with, and how do you guys communicate, and being new, not knowing how a Hooters Pro Cup car handles? Tell us how you communicate with the Nesbitt.
The Nesbitts are a great family. I mean, I wouldn't want to work with anybody else. I mean, I have a lot to learn, but I think that Martin both can help me to be able to be really successful in these cars.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but Mark, in an interview with Mark, he expected you to win. We just didn't know that it would happen this quick.
I didn't think it happened this quick either. I'm very excited that we did pull out with a win, but I was very lucky to get the win.
What are your goals for the rest of the year?
I want a championship. I want to make it to every race, first off. I got to get enough money to do that, but I do want to make it to, I want to get a championship this year. I think it's possible.
Good, off to a good start, that's for sure.
I'm sorry?
I said you're off to a good start, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Always good when you bring home the big trophy.
Yeah, we actually buckled my trophy in the front seat on the way home.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, you need to pull some strings there, Skip. Get that taken care of.
Yeah.
Man. I know you know somebody over there that can fix that problem.
We'll talk to Joe Smiley.
There you go.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Joe, she needs a new trophy,
no
man.
No doubt.
Joe, we know Joe's listening to this show right now.
That's right.
That's right. Hook her up, Joe.
That's cool.
Oh, I did get a trophy.
Well, I know. But you said you broke it? Is that what?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
Oh.
No, we buckled it in the front seat on the way home.
Oh, you buckled it in. Oh, okay.
Okay. I thought you said it got broke. Yeah. I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. Never mind, Joe. It's okay, man.
Joe, you can put your wallet back.
We understand you had a little snow get back.
I'm sorry?
You had a little snow going back.
There was a ton of snow when we got back.
All right,
you guys. Skip, Megan. Megan, congratulations on a great win.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we'll keep talking to you. You keep winning.
All right, Megan, you, Skip, hang on just for a minute. Megan, we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
All right.
Go get him. Hey, Skip, what are we going to do? Call you back here in a little bit. We're going to check back with you maybe on, who did you have on lined up there?
We got, I came across Scott Rigney. And,
oh, yeah.
Might be able to get Jason Mitchell. He's the public relations director for the Wheeling Southern Modified.
All right.
We'll go in and see if I can drag him out.
All right. I'll tell you what. Now, we're going to take a break here, and then we got several other guests coming up. We have Dwayne Goins, who's taking over a track up there in North Carolina that I'm still confused about. I think we're talking about – it's now called Cleveland County Speedway, I believe, it, which was called Thunder Valley in Lawndale, North Carolina. And we're also going to talk to Matt Hawkins. We tracked Matt down on vacation up in Panama City, Florida, just fresh off a pretty good run in the Hooters Pro Cup deal out at Lakeland. And then, of course, we're going to spend some extended time here with Dave Steele, sprint car driver extraordinaire, and Lenny Puglio, who is the has been his car owner in the past.
And now he's the man.
He's the man with the TBARA Wing Sprint deal. So, Skip, we'll get back to you in a little bit, man, see what we can hustle up.
Okay.
All right.
And, Rick, I think what we're going to do here is, if I can find the right buttons to push, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
All right.
Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Pembrink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Tate Pierce, big winner of the modified race out at DeSoto Super Speedway this past weekend.
Yeah, sure was.
Jack, who have we got on the line with us right now?
We were able to track down Dwayne Goins, who's going to explain the difference between Thunder Valley Speedway and Cleveland County Speedway, I think. Welcome to Real Racing USA Live, Dwayne.
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing in Florida?
We're doing real good. Beautiful day down here in the 80s.
Well, you can stop with that.
So, Dwayne, tell us a little bit about Cleveland County Speedway.
Well, it started off as Thunder Valley under previous owner, Scott Spangler, of Lawndale, North Carolina. And he had a local guy. He'd got it going and never really got 100% completed. They'd race there, and he'd take on different promoters and different people to try to help him run the place and all, different guys that come in and out. And a fellow by the name of Steve Mason in the paving business in Gastonia in Dallas, North Carolina, took it. This will be his fourth year, and he's showed he's got staying power, and he's there. And he had been calling me since about July 2005, and my schedules and personal interest and all that stuff came together, and I've decided to go up there and help him try to turn the place around and get it going. And he's made a big commitment to it. He's doing a lot of stuff up there. But it's Highway 18 between I-40 and I-85. Highway 18 connects through Shelby, North Carolina there. Kind of a famous old racing city, Shelby Fairgrounds, a lot of NASCAR action up through there, west of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's reachable from I-40 anywhere in the country or I-85 anywhere in the country. And big, long track. We're going to call it the Super Track of the Southeast because it's basically one of the longest ones around now. So, and Steve went in and surveyed the track, and we widened the back straightaway, and work continues. We hope to get some practice in April 4th and 11th, and then maybe be there a little bit practicing on the 18th as Roger Slack has his colossal going up the street at Lowe's. And we'll come back on April 25th with a season sampler opener. We'll run the super late models on a open tire, open compound deal. And it's kind of a precursor to the next weekend. The Carolina Clash will be there on Friday, May the 2nd. Of course, they're on the American Racer tire. But the next day is the 8th Annual Skyler Troy Memorial. It's moved to Cleveland County Speedway. It's clevelandcountyspeedway.com. So it'll be there on the 3rd, and it's turned into a little bit of a war there. We were hyping it a little bit, but it's gone to an all-new level. The Mr. Mateer, the famous message board man from American Racer, is coming in for that. And he's doing something I've never seen before. He's going to give away four tires to the first car that does not even transfer into the race. And there's a lot of stuff going on. The Troll family's raising money, and they're doing laps on trackforums.com. And I understand you guys, through the Karnak thing down there, keep up with everything that's going on in Florida and stuff. And I just want to give everybody a shout-out that Scott Bishop, that runs the trucks at New Smyrna Speedway down there, he's one of our kids.
Oh, yeah.
The Cherokee Speedway area, you know, we're proud of him. I kind of fund his website there a little bit, scottbishopmotorsports.com. But he's run some laps there at the place. But we're coming along. We're proud of him. We're glad he's doing what he's doing in Florida. I'm glad you guys are taking interest in us up here in the Carolinas.
Well, this particular show, we're all over the we do a couple of Florida shows. This show here we do on Tuesday night, we're all over the map. And
I may be all over the map myself, but we got a lot of stuff going.
Yeah,
on.
Where's the track located in North Carolina? Give us
18 north of Shelby, North Carolina. It's Foster, North Carolina, but you can jump off I-40 at Morganton, North Carolina.
It's up north. Up north, north, north.
Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
The foothills, the bottom of the foothills, before you go up the hill to Asheville and all that.
Sure.
But okay. You can jump off of 40 or you can get off of 85 at the Cherokee Speedway, you know, Gaffney exit down there. 18 runs, connects Morganton to through Shelby to Gaffney. So that's kind of where we're at, west of Charlotte and north of the Big Peach down there. And beautiful country with a couple of South Mountains up there. And it's a nice racetrack. They park the cars all around the top, around a ring, grandstands on the front straightaway, tiered, working on some more tiered parking on the back chute. We want to get the cars outside the racetrack. We got two motocross courses there. I've got Ricky Carmichael and Jeremy McGrath will come ride them and sign off on them. We've got the gates and the AMA's been there. And we're headed toward a total motorsports complex. We've got some other things there that we've got to get approved before we can release some details on what's going on there. But the 400 acres and the property lines, wow, the Broad River, and we're marking off some camping spots for that down there. We've got 20. Really, we got a spot for about 80 campers on top of the hill for that Sky Latrobe Memorial on May the 3rd. And Southern All-Stars will be in there on July the 4th on a Friday, Southern All-Stars East, and then we'll bring them back in August. And I'm trying to, I may have a few surprises there for the fall, trying to find something for the fall brawl. We used to have a Grassley Smith Memorial there, but it'll be a Lucas race at Cherokee on a Friday, but that's okay. I work pretty close with Lenny, and I've done PA work since 1984 around the area. I did some of the last of the NDRA races and some of the first of the Have a Tampa races and Southern All-Stars. And had the privilege last year doing, I think, one Southern All-Stars and three or four fast track races. And primarily, I'm the voice of the Carolina Clash. I'll continue to do that this year.
What is this? How would you describe the state of short track racing in that area and super late models in particular?
This area, I think it's better off than what people really think. We're all trying to work together and scrambling together, and between the sponsors and car owners, and you got the guys like Kelly Hamrick that does a lot of stuff behind the scenes that helps guys, and Jack Sturette down in Augusta, Georgia, that spreads it out among different drivers, and we're keeping it together. We got some young kids on the way up, Chris Ferguson up out of the crate racing stuff, getting a super late model. He's going for Rookie of the Year on the Carolina Clash, and everybody's really networking. That's what it's going to take. I mean, times are hard all over, but
sure.
In the southeast, the town I live in, I remember growing up, at night you could open the window and hear all the mills running. The mills don't run anymore.
Sure.
And it's tough on everybody. But everybody's got to work together. My track up there, the billboards, there's a racer there that's got a graphics machine, and I'm trying to send him business, and we network with the junkyards and run ads in the racing paper that help the racers, and we try to pull more people into our racing circle,
Sure.
Kind of like the car dealers that spend the money in the county you live in,
Sure.
The racing community, we all try to work together.
Yeah, we find that no matter whether we're talking to the drivers in Michigan or Wisconsin or in Carolinas or in Florida, it seems like there's always, it really seems like it's almost a matter of attitude. Some people just have a real positive attitude, and we're going to make this work no matter what. And then, maybe some not so much. So it seems like it's just a matter of attitude.
People started racing, and people always raced down through the years because they could,
Sure.
And work hard and play hard. Well, this area here, within an hour any day, I can go eat lunch with a Lancaster Speedway champion, or I can go down I-85 and stop off and see Mike Duval and Barry Wright, Jeff Cook, Doug Sanders, Lee Cooper, Jeremy Clements, David Smith, and it's according to which direction you want to go down here, It's an hour either way. You can run across anybody. Rambo, it just goes on and on. And I had Mike Duval make a call yesterday to a young man who lost his father a while back. And this kid's been kind of stumbling around a little bit. And that kid called me late yesterday, And so I called Duval back. Duval was wanting to rent a track. I didn't quite have the track ready to be rented this week. But I said, hey, I'll do a favor. How about call this kid? I'm worried about him. And he did. And when Mike Duval calls you, you listen,
Sure.
And he talked to the kid and got him kind of on a more positive attitude and all that. But it's not really reality and perception, I guess, They're competitors, but everybody loves each other and they love to race each other. And it's wonderful being in this area. It really is.
Tell us about Arena Racing USA.
That stuff is. I went over there on a lark. I was at a sale, and I don't know. They pointed me out and stuff. So I helped the guy there that night, so then they called me back. But it's part announcer, part rodeo clown, because the car's coming in, Phil, with you. And
we had a new security guy in the infield, and he just about got mowed down Saturday night, you know. And then he left, and I thought, where'd you go? But it's a aluminum roller derby track, I guess you'd call it. Of course, they're on Hoosier tires, and 8 seconds a lap. It's a one-tenth of a mile track, and these little cars are 13-horsepower generator engines. It's Arena Racing USA. Bill Dennis out of Norfolk, Virginia, used to win all the Permatex 300 races at Daytona, Virginia, Don Levy. His boy, Ricky Dennis, came up with this thing, and in Charlotte, Joe Gibbs is an investor in it, and some other guys. And these cars will run 110 out on the road, but they run about 52, 53 around this track. And Tony Stewart's uncle has been upside down the last 2 weeks, and we rolled him over, and he kept going again. And it's a wild show, a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of basketball. We've got the girls firing the T-shirts in the stands. We turn the lights out and have the fog smoke, introduce the drivers. We got one more race coming up, this coming Saturday night at Cricket Arena in Charlotte, and it's a neat deal. We work hand-in-hand with the other people, those Charlotte Cobras, and we've got a Charlotte Roller Derby, a girls' roller derby team thing up there. But the Arena Racing's a neat little deal, $14,000. You own a franchise. You own a license to be in the thing, and they're going to Michigan with it and maybe coming to Florida with it. And it's a pretty good little way for people around here to spend the winter, and it's great entertainment, $10, and it's a neat little deal, and we've just had a schedule change up here with the Carolina Clash. We will not be at Lancaster this weekend. We're going to open up at Gordon Park at Augusta, Georgia. So,
how big is the event? How big is the does the facility have to be in order to accommodate the track?
This arena was built in 1959. At the time, it was the largest arena under one roof in the world, but it holds 11,666 for basketball. It's barely. The walls for the ice rink just butt the thing all the way around.
So one of these small places like a civic center.
Close. Yeah, it could work.
Yeah.
It could work. It's inside. It will go inside a hockey rink.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of them.
It'll go inside a hockey rink. And yeah. Ricky Dennis out of Norfolk, Virginia is the guy to call, or you can check them at Arena Racing USA. A great bunch of people. It's a neat way to go racing. And I'm going to tell you, they take the tires away from you at the end of the night. They put them on a spindle. They lock them up in the truck. And we don't know where they parked their truck during the week. They bring the tires back.
Dwayne, you said a little bit that it's a little bit like wrestling. Now, you got some wrestling in your background.
Just a little bit. I used to do some local stuff at the big arenas and stuff, non-TV. I was too tall for television, I was told. So. But, yeah, I've still got some friends there, and through the entertainment business, having some bars and doing some bands and stuff and stage announcing and stuff like that. And I've made a pretty good friend the last few years. His name is Percy Sledge out of Baton Rouge, and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, When a Man Loves a Woman. And
all you got to do is call this man's phone number, Rick, and that's what you get.
Percy Sledge?
Yeah, when you
genuine.
When you call Dwayne, you get Percy.
Let me tell you, PSledge.com, and you click on that live in Louisiana, he brings you sitting on a dock of the bay in whiter shade of pale like nobody else. But I've got a concert in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, with him. We're helping out the Broyhill Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. And we've got some real special guests might be there. Heath Shuler and a few more, Gladys Knight and Roberta Flack on the list there, along with Andy McDowell. But it's a 1,000-seat theater, acoustically perfect. Vets in the Valley. Couple thousand Corvettes are going to be there May 23rd, 24th, Friday, Saturday, and Percy Sledge live in concert. And it's he's just a joy to be around. He's 67 years old, and the way we do it, we little show business there. You know, we do the encore, and it runs about 9 minutes. And he can still belt them out. And Maggie Valley, the ghost town in the sky, still open up there in Western North Carolina mountains. I-40 out of Knoxville or Asheville, and you know, being around people like that, it's a joy, because they are, some of those people are real genuine folks. They really are. And had the privilege over the years of introducing a lot of guys like that. And we've got on our total entertainment thing, getting back to the racetrack. I'm leaning on Steve. Well, we found a place over there. We've got a good sized pasture with a slope on it, and maybe we'll start off with a little bluegrass, a little southern rock, maybe, and then a couple of years, maybe we'll have something going. But the future's bright. It's ClevelandCountySpeedway.com. The website's under construction. We open up April 25th and then bring the Clash in there and the Skyler Troll back-to-back. Working hard, and if you get in the upstate of South Carolina, western North Carolina, come see us sometime. It's a beautiful place to visit, vacation. We'll escape the heat and humidity of Florida and come racing on the Carolina dirt.
So now tell us a little bit about the Clash before you go.
Great bunch of people to work with. Augusta, Georgia. We're going down there to Ed Basie Country. He's the Dick Trickle, a dirt track, and a cigarette in one hand, a cup of coffee in the other. He's won, it'll be event number 160, starting on year 9 of the Carolina Clash. It's a thing that was based, an announcer buddy of mine, Larry Long, took an idea to Larry Lee, a furniture man in Fayetteville, North Carolina, several years ago. And all those super guys right here just had the weekly shows, you know. And there was a little bit of stuff going on between the tracks, you know, letting buying drivers back and forth, and nothing really special. But
no, you're kidding.
They had nothing they could really do, you know, week in, week out. It's a Saturday night blue collar deal, and that's how they tried to start that thing. And they've sit here and they've built it up, and graduated the purses a little bit, and the point fund, and the banquet is at Lowe's, it's Speedway Club at Lowe's, and it's a class organization, and I'm. Finally was able to do like 11 of their races last year, and I'm going to do them all this year. I'm looking forward to it. So, Clint Elkins, son of Ernie Elkins, used to publish the Racing News there. He's a fantastic kid, great race car driver, and he's done a good job as a race director.
So does your heart lean towards dirt racing as opposed to asphalt racing then?
Yeah, I would say. I've done some asphalt, the Southern Modifieds. Did Anderson, South Carolina. Off and on a couple years, you know, and
yeah,
I've been able to do. I did the pit road thing at the Dirt Track World Championship and 20th anniversary for Carl up there in 01, and I went with Stan Lester with Fast Track to 2005 Prelude. I was a guy had him doing the wave up there at 6:30 in the afternoon. And I don't know, just something about watching him go sideways, you know.
Yeah,
something and I've. Well, I was at Cherokee Speedway from 84 to 91 back in the day when we had to build a second ticket booth. And we had good guy, bad guy in every division, and everybody was wearing everybody's T-shirt. And, it was an amazing time. People still talk about it. The photos still pop up on the Internet. And it's just I run into guys that I worked with, Wayne Allen, the flagman down there at Cherokee for a few years. And, you know, he said, you know, they still call and talk about this day. I said, I know, but it's just something we did. And, you know, like I told Mr. Lefevre there at DirtFans.com, I said, you know, hey, if I had to do it over again, I'd do it the same way, and it's been a heck of a ride. If it ended tomorrow, it'd be a heck of a ride. But I just feel blessed and fortunate being around all this and seeing some things happen, some kids grow up, you know, and we're watching the sons of guys we used to watch race and stuff like that, and the new kids that come in, and Scott Bishop there, his granddad, Billy, used to race there at Cherokee, the Night Stalker late model deal there, and we're proud of him and glad he's carrying the South Carolina torch down to Florida and doing what he does. And he's got a car, I think, in Marty Ward's shop up here, brand new Kerry Bodenhammer car, and he'll be on the UARA before too long. But you should see him in 12 pro truck races in Florida. So
yeah,
check out his site. We're going to be updating that thing in a couple of days. The lady just emailed me tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, anytime he shows up at a truck race
right.
in Florida, he is definitely
– He is the show.
You know he's going to be up front, that's
yep.
for sure.
You know, we took him – Rick Steamboat was a friend of mine. He loaned me a dirt legend car at Charlotte. There's about six of us went over there, and there's 500 years of experience between us, and we'd never done that before. And, you know, when it came down to it, he was all we had because we didn't know what we were doing. And he outran Kyle Busch in his first Legends heat race. Kyle Busch looked at him and said, let me guess, saw the mud on his shoes, let me guess, dirt tracker. And it just flamed me. I said, well, he's won seven in a row, Gaffney. You know, what have you won lately, you know? Scott came over. He said, don't worry. And his kid's only 12, 13 years old. He said, don't worry about it. I'll outrun him. We're in the same heat. And he did. And there was a guy in the stands there that night that saw him. And the next day or 2 days later pulled up at the shop down in Lake Bowen, South Carolina, not too far from David Pearson's house, and said, here's a car I bought last October. I'm sick. I can't use it. Take it and run it. You know?
All
he
right.
saw you last night over there, the other night, and take it and run it. And the kid... He never gets too low. He never gets too high, you know. And he studies stuff. He's smart. They homeschool him, and he's just barely 16, and he's on his way. And we're all very proud of him. And you folks in Florida are fortunate to be able to see him race probably 12 more times this year. So catch him when you can. That's all I can say. Cause he's on his way. Abraham knows about him, and a few more up in Mooresville, not too far from the house here across the lake, know about him. And he's on his way, but you talk about a kid, they'll never forget his roots. Now, he's one.
That's cool.
I saw him drive a crate. First late model, he sat down in. He drove five crates, budgeted car. Five crate races, finished in the top five.
Cool.
All five times. And we're just so proud of it.
All right.
But we were glad to be in this area. I encourage everybody to come see us. All the racetracks around here from Cleveland County Speedway, just keep tabs on us. We've got a $20,000 point fund for our local guys. And
ClevelandCountySpeedway.com.
Speedway, Motorsports Complex, ClevelandCountySpeedway.com.
All right, Dwayne. Thanks for...
tell you what you guys doing down in Karnak, and call us back anytime if you get to come see us up here up the I-85 corridor. Come on and go racing with us.
All right, Dwayne.
Will do.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
man,
for visiting with us, Dwayne.
Enjoy that terrible weather.
Dude. Yeah, we will.
Later.
All right, Dwayne Goins, Cleveland County Speedway. That's a... announcer going promoting, I guess.
Yeah, next week. As a matter of fact, I tried to get this. It just fell off the table somewhere. I think there's another speedway up in North Carolina that just went from asphalt to dirt, and we're going to have them on
next week.
I was going to do that this week, and we just didn't happen. But we're going to take a quick break, very quick break. We're going to come back with Matt Hawkins, and then following that, we're going to spend some time with Dave Steele
and Lenny Pliglio. All right. Let's take a little break here at Real Racing USA Live.
Of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Karnak.com, your online racing community since 1997. Karnak.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Karnak.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot, we hope you'll reach for one of these. New and James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in three funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, kidding myself.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
All right, we're back here on Real Racing USA. Big news of the week. The DeSoto Super Speedway joins the ASA member track program. DeSoto Super Speedway, one of the best known short tracks in the United States, has joined as a level one participant in the ASA member track program. And John Sapercone said every racetrack around the country is dealing with issues, what with the economy, gas prices. What we are looking at is the American Speed Association partnership getting us ready for a bright future when things do turn around. So the DeSoto Super Speedway is now an ASA member track adjoining Bronson Motor Speedway and also East Bay Raceway Park. And Jack's over there fumbling with paperwork
and
stuff.
I'm not fumbling.
I
don't fumble with nothing.
Okay.
I never fumble. I never.
Telephone's ringing. Also, what else we got here? Make sure you check out Karnak.com, Southern Short Track Racing, Georgia Stock Car Racing, and, of course, Florida Stock Car Racing. All that's available on the front page of Karnak.com.
Skip Wall's back with us. What do you got, Skip?
I got Jason Mitchell from the NASCAR Wheatland Southern Modified. He's the media coordinator.
Brrrr. Go fast, real fast.
Tell us a little bit about this weekend's race. Jason, I understand they got a bunch of entries. There's going to be some people going home this weekend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this weekend is really going to be probably one of the biggest NASCAR Wheel and Southern Modified races in history. We have a 26-car field, and right now we're looking at probably 36 to 38 entries, and I think the entries are still coming in, so it should be a spectacular night.
Wow. Bad modifieds.
Jason, you got some people coming from the north, from the Northern Series.
Yeah, we have Ted Christopher coming down, James Savali, Matt Hirschman. I think there's a little bit of question as to whether Ryan Priest is going to be there or not. But we've got at least the 10, 12, 14 northern guys coming down. And really, I mean, it's the start of the NASCAR Wheeling Southern Modified Tour season. But a lot of those guys, their season doesn't start for another month. They want to come down, see how their cars are, shake the cobwebs off, and just get back to racing. I mean, these guys haven't been in a race car in 3 months. So I think everybody's really looking forward to it. It should be exciting.
How about this little kid we had on the radio a couple of weeks ago, Andy Sice?
Andy Sice is going to be a good one. He's one to watch out for, a 20-year-old Hempstead, New Hampshire native. Obviously, he's taking over for Junior Miller at Riggs Racing. It won't be the Premier number 69 car. It'll be, they've changed their number to the 47, and the Riggs have allowed Junior Miller to keep his number. So look for Andy Sice in the number 47 car and Junior Miller being the 69.
Jason, it has to be a good feeling that had this many cars at the very first race of the season for the Wheeler Southern Modified, and you also secured sponsorship for like 2016. That's got to be awesome right there.
Yeah, Wheeling, the amount of support Wheeling Engineering has put behind this series is absolutely incredible. Like, for example, L.W. Miller, he got to go to New York after winning the championship in 2007. He also got an opportunity, Phil Kurtz with Wheeling Engineering, called L.W. and wanted to see if L.W. might be interested in taking part in the Jeff Bodine Bobsled Challenge at Lake Placid, New York. That's, of course, the training ground for the U.S. Olympic bobsled team. And I don't know what meant more to L.W., getting to go down a sheet of ice to 80 mile an hour or winning the championship. I think it was a pretty neat experience for both of them. But you had Wheeling's in it for the long haul. And this is only our fourth full season. To go from, I want to say, 21 or 24 cars at the very inaugural Wheeling Southern Modified race to the point now, it's sad to have to turn away cars. But, I mean, that's just, unfortunately, a sign of growth. I mean, it's like that at the cup level. And it's trickled down to, you know, some of these smaller tours. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, you know, let me get into one sentence, Skip. The modifieds have really, really made a resurgence in the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. With the support of NASCAR, you know, taking over the, I think it'd been the Smart Tour, several other different tours. Once it come under NASCAR sanction, I think it showed a lot of the competitors that NASCAR was in it for the long haul. They weren't in it just to put the NASCAR name on it and, you know, just kind of let it sit out there and, you know, do as it may. I mean, when you see the number of NASCAR people that will be up there Saturday night, one of the people that most people will recognize is Chad Little, former Cup driver with Roush Racing. He's going to be up helping call the race with Jerry Carroll and Mark Studdard. So he's going to get his little, I guess, inauguration into the tour and get to see what some real good modified racing is about.
And Jason, tell us one more time, where are we racing at this weekend and how many laps?
The Saturday night at Caraway, the Wheeling Southern Modified Tour 150 at Caraway Speedway in Asheboro, North Carolina. We practice, I believe, 4 to 4:45, qualify at 6:30. And I was talking to somebody earlier, this qualifying, that may be just as good as the race itself. Also, there's no way to skip around the fact some of the top guys are going home. Some of these north guys, you know, they're at the top of their game up north. But I think they're going to find the going a little bit tough down here. And to be realistic, if we have two provisionals, if L.W. Miller and Tim Brown were to have problems, I mean, you could see feasibly, Burt Myers fail to qualify. That, I mean, Burt's a qualifying machine, and I highly doubt that's going to happen. But it's just one of those things where all these guys, they have to think of it, you know.
It's the what ifs. It's the tires going down, getting the right qualifying draw. It's all these what ifs that are going to go into whether these guys race Saturday night or they have to go in the grandstands and simply watch the race from a seat they don't want to be in. They want to be in the driver's seat and not a grandstand seat, that's for sure.
Well, Skip, it sounds like the modified thing is this is going to be a big one for the modifieds.
I think this will be the best year yet for the Wheeling Southern Modified. It's a couple of years of existence, and it just keeps getting bigger and better each year.
And you're going to be at that race, right?
Yep, I'll be there Saturday, and can't wait for it to be here.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys stopping by again, Skip. Thanks a lot, We will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Skip.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. The modifieds are definitely making a comeback. Jimmy Blewett and with the big wins down here at New Smyrna. You know, Kyle Busch starting to take his foot into a little bit of modified racing. Didn't do too well. But, yeah, it's going to be a good year this year for the Wheeling modifieds.
Good year for... You know, Williams Grove Speedway opened its racing on the 10th or the 9th, and it's amazing. You know, sometimes there's just race car drivers out there that just somehow or another. Fred Raymer won his 75th feature win at Williams Grove Speedway in the sprints a week ago. That's a lot of feature wins, man.
Fast Freddie Raymer. Yeah, he had some wins at East Bay, and he did well at Volusia too. So Freddie Raymer out in front in 2008. That win up at Williams Grove, following two weather related cancellations at Williams Grove, they finally opened their 2008 season, and Fred Raymer dominated the 25 lap feature. Raymer drew a zero for the inversion, which allowed him to start on the outside with World Outlaws driver Lucas Wolf. Raymer beat Wolf into the first turn and set the early pace and just walked the dog on him. 25 laps, his 75th victory from Williams Grove Speedway. Of course, all that is on Southern Short Track Racing in the news section. We've got asphalt, we've got dirt, we've got it all over there on Southern Short Track. Also, got GeorgiaStockCarRacing.com. Check out that. And, of course, all across the site, we've got the Real Racing USA media player. Of course, last week, we talked to Dennis Gibson, 250 miles an hour on the water. That guy, that's quite an interview there. Got that one isolated along with Shane Williams. Last month's Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month, and we're already looking at drivers for March, and we got a big announcement first week in April from Pandora Jewelers. It's going to be a big one. Of course, MustSeeRacing.com got all those videos from New Smyrna Speedway Speed Weeks. Just go to MustSeeRacing.com, and they got sample videos up there, and you'll check that out. MustSeeRacing.com.
Drum roll. We don't have a drum roll. We need a drum roll for this one, man.
Yeah, we do.
It's ready to roll. Rick, right. do you one of your famous introductions.
Well, with us right now is the legend in sprint car racing right now. And, I mean, this guy, he puts them in the stands and he gets them on their feet right down to the last lap, the Superman, Dave Steele. And along with Dave, we've got Lenny Puglio, the president of the TBRA and former car owner for Dave Steele. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, man.
Well, that's great. You know, Dave, that last race at DeSoto, man, I mean, you were picking them up, putting them down, and we were thinking, man, there is no way. But coming out of four and by the edge of the wing of the front of the car, you took that win. That was an awesome ride.
Yeah, I mean, like usual, car was running good. It just took us a little bit to get up towards the front there, and them guys were racing pretty hard up in front, and like I say, we just barely got them right there at the end.
Yeah, you know, I 5.5 years of calling races at DeSoto Speedway. Some of my most memorable calls were your sprint car races. But over the years, DeSoto's, the surface has gotten a little out of hand. It's a little tough to get a grip on, but it sure seems like you guys have got it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, it's says a lot for the club. TBRA has always been a good, you know, a great place to race and a great place to watch good races. So anytime you see TBRA out on the sign out front of the track, it should be a good race that night.
Now, Lenny, tell us a little bit about your advancement in the TBRA.
Oh, well, I started out with Dave about 4 years ago, him and Todd Smith, and started racing Todd's car, and then I said, oh, man, I need to get one of these, so got into it and pretty much jumped in it, you know, pretty heavy, and, you know, we've been real successful at it, and, you know, got a good team, and, you know, then I, you know, saw a lot of things in the club that, you know, needed to be taken care of, and, you know, to bring it to the next level, which we've been working on pretty hard the last few months, and, you know, our car counts represent it. We should have a pretty good car count this weekend at DeSoto. You know, a lot of guys blew engines over at New Smyrna, and they're getting their cars back together. And, you know, it's just, you know, wing club to me is, I like running non-wing races, but they look like they're in slow motion to me. When you get in them wing cars, they just look like they're rolling around there pretty quick, you know, and just trying to get it all going, get it, you know, get it to the next step, and, you know, dealing with these track owners and have, you know, some of them are really nice, you know, haven't had any problem with any of them. They've helped us out, and everybody's put forth a good effort to, you know, take the club higher than it's been over the last few years, you know.
Lenny, what, 9 dates at DeSoto Speedway, is there a reason for that?
Well, he wanted more, and, you know, when you run 22 races a year or whatever, you know, it's a lot of races for these guys, you know, and, you know, me and Dave, we could run 50, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not an issue, but the working guy, he's got to, you know, keep his stuff together, and, you know, some of them are on tighter budgets than, you know, we are, and, you know, you have to take all that into consideration, and John has been nice to us down there at the track. It's a great track to race at. It's conveniently located for the majority of the club members. You know, yeah, there's a few of them that have to travel a little further, but, you know, the racing conditions, the, you know, the track, the fans, you know, the pits, just everything about it, you know, it's a nice place to race. You know, New Smyrna is a great place to race, and, you know, Inverness, you know, all the tracks that, you know, want us there, you know, we enjoy going there. We'd enjoy going to other tracks also, you know. We're working on a few things, but, you know, we're just trying to keep it to a, you know, race schedule that we can get all the members and cars to show up. You know, a lot of people don't have spare engines, you know, spare cars and stuff like that, you know. So you got to take all that into consideration, you know. And the economy right now is not really, you know, with fuel as high as it is and alcohol as high as it is. And, you know, just expenses are, you know, have increased. They've doubled. You know, fuel has went up from $1.25 a gallon to almost $6 a gallon, you know, on the racing fuel. And then your fuel to get to the racetrack is doubled. So, you know, you have to take all that into consideration and buying tires and, you know, it's rough on a lot of people, but we're just trying to, you know, keep it all together and do what we can do, you know.
Hey, Dave, on the national level, how has the economy affected the racing in the national level?
Well, I haven't really, I mean, it seems like it's kind of taken a real downward spiral, like the end of the last racing season and over the off season and beginning of this racing season, so I haven't really been able to deal with it firsthand. But I mean, you know, like Lenny, everybody knows how high diesel fuel is, and you know, just to get your you know, if you're going to do the national deal, a lot of the tracks aren't right in your backyard. So, you know, if you're paying $4 a gallon of diesel fuel, it's got to have an effect on car counts. And, you know, with gasoline the way it is, just fans driving to go watch a race, it'll probably affect that too.
Now, Dave, you got a ton of wins all over the country, but I have to say that some of your tightest wins were right here in the state of Florida with the TBRA. Are there any that stand out more than another?
That last one was pretty good at DeSoto there, but, I mean, that stands out. It was a good race. It was probably good for the fans, and it was the most recent one, so that one's going to be a little fresher in the memory there, but... you know, a lot of those, it's always, all the wins are good, and it never gets old, and it's never easy to win a local race or a national race. So you just enjoy every one of them.
Lenny, what's it been like, you know, prior to you taking over the TBRA, to be the car owner for a driver like Dave Steele and watch this guy wheel a machine?
Well, that's kind of hard to describe. I mean, he just, you know, gets it done. Never rings his own bell, you know, just a first-class kid, you know, not a kid anymore. He's an old man now, but compared to some of these guys that we go up north and, you know, they walk out with their little helmet bag and their thong, you know, thongs on and, you know, and waiting for the car so they can sit in it and go. Dave's a hands-on guy. He's taught me a lot of stuff, you know, about sprint car racing, and, you know, he's respected everywhere that we've ever been. I mean, with the highest respect, you know. And, you know, being in the TBARA, this club over the last couple years, I'd say last 3 years, has really stepped up. The parity in it 3 or 4 years ago was not nearly as tough as it is now. I mean, you were at the race, the last race, when you got 4 or 5 cars racing for the lead, and then you got it. Couple cars back, you got another 4 or 5 cars racing. You know, it's just not a runaway one car show anymore. You know what I'm trying to say. And
exactly.
Got a lot of stars in this club, you know, and a lot of respected stars. You got new and upcoming stars. You got, you know, we got that new kid on the block, Blaze Martin, and, you know, Troy DeCare won the championship last year. And you know, you got Mark Gimler has stepped up the pace. Jimmy Alves, I mean, dude star is always there. You know, you got a lot of people that, Bo Hartley, you know, a lot of the past champions, you know. It's just the parity has come around over the last 3 years, and it's just, you know, it's not easy to win anymore, like Dave said. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, the equipment, there's people out there with just as good equipment as Dave drives, you know, and the talent out there is just, the bar has been raised, you know, especially in, you know, the club, and we're just trying to keep it that way and keep the fans happy, because if you don't have the fans, you don't have a race, and, you know, that's the way it needs to be, you know, and that's why we got to keep up the car counts, and, you know, we're doing some other things with the club, and hopefully they'll progress forward, you know, and that's what our intent is to do.
Now, Lenny, what's your object of increasing these car counts? How do you plan on doing that?
Well, we took in the purse in this club has been, from what I have been told and found out for probably the last 15 to 16 years, the purse has only gone up like $100 for the first position to win. We've raised the purse 20%, and the majority of it was raised from 10th on back. And instead of paying $1,100 to win, we pay $1,500 to win now. And for the guy that's showing up who used to only get $225, he's getting $300 now. And you really have to take care of, you know, all the cars. You just can't. The majority of the 20% was put from in the rear of the field as opposed to up in the front. We did raise the front some, you know, to attract, you know, more racers and stuff like that. and it's just something that we have to take. It had to be done. You got, you know, other organizations trying to, you know, get in on it all, and you got to, and the whole thing, when you have a car count and you got fans, you can put on a show. I mean, it's all about having the cars there, and I haven't met anybody yet that, you know, they all like money, you know, and money helps them run their program, and so that's what we're, you know, we're being focused on right now, you know, and we're trying to do a little advertising and, you know, still working on a corporate sponsor. I got a couple irons in the fire there, and, you know, it's, and I think the reputation of the TBARA really has such a foundation in the state of Florida and all over the South that it's hard to take. And, you know, people know they like the wing cars, and that's what they go to see. And, you know, they go to see all the stars. And, you know, it's just great racing. I mean, I've been other places and watched races. And, you know, I've been to Winchester with Dave. I've been to Salem with Dave, all those tracks up north. And, you know, yeah, I mean, they're fast. And but DeSoto Speedway, it's kind of like one of the nicer tracks around, you know, and seems like the fans like DeSoto a lot more than some of the other tracks that we participate at. But I think it's the, you know, the fan base around DeSoto is a lot greater than it is in other places where we go race. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly, because, I mean, after 5 years of working there, you definitely saw the different crowd come in for the TBRA races, and there's a crowd that follows these guys, and there's some that's the only racing they go to is the TBRA races.
It is
right. And there's part, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to try and move in on your turf, and we're just going to keep running our program and, you know, and forge forward with everything that we're trying to do, and it'll all work out. You know, it's like I told you, it's got a great foundation. It's got a great bunch of members. It's got a great bunch of owners and drivers, and, you know, that's what we're out to take and do here, and I'm pretty sure we'll be successful at it.
You know, Rick, since the days of the Sarah series, when Rick Day had his Sarah late models and modifies, I haven't seen, from what I've observed that following the racetracks and the news and so forth, I don't think there's any series in the state that has an actual following besides the TBRA.
No, not that I know of.
I mean, there's a handful of people who will follow, go around, but it's the only place, it's the only series that actually has a solid following that does put people in the seats from all over the state, no matter where they show
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing about it is the longevity of the TBRA. I mean, it's been around a long, long time. We talked to you before, Dave, and you said you were just a young guy when you used to watch the guys racing that were the early champions of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a lot younger.
I mean, yeah, like I said before, as a little kid, all my my first racing heroes were they ran TBARA, and that's all. My memories at the racetrack just go back to watching them guys. And like I say, it's been around so long. It has created a big following throughout the state and throughout the South. So, and it's a nationally known group as well. I mean, I go up north, run a little bit, and people up there, they're familiar with TBARA as well. So it's made a name for itself.
No doubt about it. You know, I've talked to people from out of state, and they talk about the TBRA. And, of course, you know, it's amazing to me to sit in the stands like at DeSoto and the people that are there for Dave, to just watch Dave come up through the field. It's like an artist at work watching him come up through the field, isn't it, Lenny?
Oh, yeah. I always said it's like watching him work. He's very methodical about what he does, bringing that car up from the rear to the front. But, you know, there's been a lot of them learned from him, and he helps everybody, and he doesn't, you know, whatever he can do to help the rest of the guys out, he helps them. And, you know, and a lot of them have learned a lot, and, you know, they respect him too. I don't think there's anybody out there racing that in the TBARA or any open wheel class that doesn't respect Dave. You know, he's earned his respect, and he deserves it, you know. And you know, the TBRA has been around since 1973. I mean, they've kept statistics and records and stuff like that. It's incredible, some of the old-timers that, you know, run, and they still come out there and watch. I mean, you know, you got guys like Dave Scarborough and, you know, Jim Childers and, you know, Wayne Rudiman. He's still sitting in the seat, you know, 62 or 63 years old, and, you know, still gets around the racetrack pretty good, you know, and a lot of champions, you know, have come out of this club, and a lot of them have been up north and done real well, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, it's a heck of a club, man. It's just forging forward, and that's what we're going to do. You know, we've been in a lot of controversy going on since I became president, but we're trying to, you know, get past all that and forge forward with our program, and that's what we're out to do, you know. And I think it's all working out real good for us all.
Well, I'll tell you what, by looking at that first race at DeSoto, I'd say it's working out pretty good.
I think we're going to have a better one this week.
Yep, this.
You know, I don't know whether you could ever have a better one than what happened the last time I was there, but we'll sure try and give the fans one and put on a great show for them, because that was probably, and I told Dave this when he got out of the car there, I said, man, that was the best wing race I've ever witnessed, you know, in all the years that I've been messing with it, and it's only been a few years. So, but he did put on a show, and all of them put on a show, and you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's what the fans come there. That's what they pay their hard-earned money for. And that's what we're there to do, is make the fans happy and, you know, get around that racetrack.
Yeah, that's DeSoto Super Speedway this weekend. They're located 9 miles east off of I-75 on State Road 64. Dave, going back to that last race, man, Jimmy Alves and Troy DeCare did not make that one easy for you, did they?
No. Mark Gilmer, he was up there dicing it up too. I mean, they were having a race of their own, and I tried to get in there and mix it up with them. And you know, when you get a group of cars racing like that, you know, some guys are on offense, some guys are on defense, it wasn't easy, and that one might have been a little sweeter than some of them. I mean, just because you know, it was a little tougher than a lot of them were, so. Hopefully we'll get another one this Saturday.
What do you think about this new kid, Blaze Martin?
I think he'll be good. I mean, his results from his first few races this year kind of speak for themselves. I think he's got a top five in every race so far in 2008. So, and he's a rookie, so he's definitely one to look out for.
Well, Lenny, what do you think, man? 2008 is the year for the TBRA?
Oh, yeah, we'll, you know, just getting back to that Blaze Martin, he was a real good go-kart racer. I didn't know him that well, but he's staying focused, comes over and works on his car. You know, he's a hands-on guy, too, so, you know, that's what it's all about with these cars, you know. Not just sitting in the seat and riding around the racetrack. It's being able to work on them. And I would say that 95% of those guys that are out there racing in the TBARA can get it done, you know, both inside the car and outside the car, you know. So that's where it is, you know. It's what it's all about.
You know, when we did that TBRA show a year or two ago, that's one thing that I've always noticed about this club is these guys are really hands-on with their race cars, really, really know their cars inside and out. Like you said, they don't show up at the track with a helmet bag in hand just wanting to get in the seat.
That's true. And, you know, the closeness of the club is over the past, this season has really taken in, you know, a lot of the animosities and all the bad air and everything like that. It seemed like everybody's kind of pooled together now, and you know, they've always helped each other as best they can, you know what I'm trying to say. But you know, we're, like I said, it's just a great club, you know, and it's been around so long, it'll be here for a long time, you know, and we just want to keep it going and do our part, you know, that everybody else has done over the past 35 years with it, you know what I'm saying. And that's our goal, and like Dave says, hopefully we can put on a better race this weekend. You know, every week we want to put on a it's all, you know, it's about racing, about putting on a show and, you know, getting you guys all jacked up and getting the fans jacked up, you know, and going for it, you know. So that's what it's all about.
No doubt about it. Lenny, any special races or anything coming up for him?
Well, we're going to have, there'll be 250 lappers coming up. One of them will be the Dick Friedley Memorial, which will be a 50-lap race at DeSoto. And that one we're probably going to have it, I'd say probably it would be not the next race, but the race after that. And then, of course, we're going to have the Frank Riddle Memorial race at DeSoto also. And we'll have the Bob Luscombe and Billy Yuma race over at Orlando. You know, that we don't, they were from Orlando, Bob Luscombe was, and, you know, we have that race over there. Those are memorial races. And, you know, we're trying to put together a couple races up in South Georgia Motorsports Complex up there, that new motor in Cecil, Georgia, you know. But, you know, you got to work with the promoters, and things are tight right now with everybody, you know. I mean, just look at the news, read the newspaper, you know. So, you know, we require what we require to run, and, you know, we're not going to deviate from it. It's been that way for years, and, you know, we're getting sponsors and, you know, people to put up money so we can raise the purse. And, you know, it's something that has to be done if you're going to survive, you know, what's going on in the economy in this age, you know. That's just one thing that, you know, it's got to be done, and that's what we're trying to do, is get it all done and survive it all so we can take and, you know, be on top when it all comes down to the end, you know.
Right.
Be the superior open-wheel club in the area, you know, and in the state and in the South like it's been for years, you know. But we're all, you know, like I said, we're just, that's our goal. That's what we're going after.
Now, Lenny, tell me, what made you step from the owner, the car owner shoes, into wanting to run the whole series?
Well, I just didn't like what was going on. You know, the whole outlook and the club not moving forward. It's, I use the word stagnating. You know, it's just nothing goes on. I was in it for 3.5 years, and, you know, the racers, the owners, the fans, they deserve, you know, to have more, you know. And you got to, you know, forge forward in whatever you do in life. And it's just, you know, I said, well, I'll run, you know. And, you know, everybody said it was going to be pretty hard, and it was. I mean, Don did a good job, you know, in the time that he was there, and I don't want to get any discussions about all of that. It's just, you know, we got a new couple years here we're working on, and we're just forging forward. You know, that's it. You know, I still have a car. Me and Dave and my crew that runs the 91, you know, we're all going to run the little 500. As a matter of fact, we're down here working on it right now at the race shop. And, you know, that's an open wheel race. I mean, you know, a non-wing race up there, but 500 laps, and, you know, and we'll get her ready for that, you know. But I figured I needed to lengthen, you know, to get away from being a car owner and trying to be the president of the club. I didn't want to show any partiality, even though everybody knows I still root for Dave, you know. But I want to see all of them win. You know, we had at Speed Week, we had, you know, four races, and we had actually, you know, three different winners, you know, almost had four different winners, you know what I'm trying to say. So that tells you something about the parity in the club when you can take and do that, you know. I mean, there's just people really stepped up their program since I came into this organization. I mean, they're working hard at it, you know, and that's what it's all about, you know. Getting your stuff together and going out there and go to the racetrack and, you know, having the attitude that you can win, you know. And that's, I think, the majority of this club, that's what the attitude is. You know, on any given night, you can have a new winner. You know, last year we had, you know, quite a few winners, you know what I'm trying to say. And got young generation coming up, you know. We got Dakota Stevens, who runs Dirt, who is now running pavement with us. He should be there this weekend. You know, he's getting his feet wet. You know, he's 16 years old, you know, and there's just, you know, there's a lot of young kids that are coming out, you know, and it's what it's all about.
Right. Dave, tell us a little bit about, now, you've got many laps around DeSoto Speedy, but you also have many laps without a wing around there. What's the difference in the track with wing and without?
Well, I mean, obviously the track's the same. I mean, it's the car that's different. You know, obviously you can just, you know, the wing just hooks the car up way better, as you could tell. Anybody that's watched a wing race there, non-wing race there, the wing cars are probably, I'm not sure, elapsed time-wise, at least a second faster, probably closer to two. It's just you could just run, and it actually with a wing, it kind of probably makes for a little better racing in the sense that you could probably run, probably creates a little more of an outside groove than
right.
If, you know, without a wing, it makes it a little tougher to pass. So I'd say that'd be about the biggest differences.
And what do you think about the move with USAC going back to the regular Silver Crown car?
I mean, I think it's something they had to do. You know, they had a, you know, really the only people that were behind the new Silver Crown car was Bill France with NASCAR. He was kind of behind that deal, and he died. So, you know, when he passed away, it kind of left the kid in charge, and, you know, he didn't really want anything to do with it. And, you know, there wasn't really a lot of interest there. So, you know, it was just kind of a, in my opinion, of a hastily thought up class of cars, and turns out, or it looks like it didn't, isn't going to work out.
Okay, we got a caller. Jack, do you want to handle the caller we had?
Yeah, we had a caller to just call in from, I guess, from Florida. Had a Florida phone number. And Paul wanted to know, he said he had been to Charlotte County Speedway for some recent sprint car races, and he wanted to know if he could win the TBRA would be at Charlotte County, because he'd sure like to see you there.
That'd be a question for Lenny.
Lenny?
We originally had five races scheduled at Charlotte County, and due to the track promoter down there, they canceled them on us. And so, you know, that's one reason that we're not running down there. In the past, you know, we've run down there. You know, I like the racetrack. Dave likes the racetrack. You know, a lot of them do. And it's a nice little racetrack, but due to, you know, financial situations down there, they couldn't afford to run us there anymore. And, you know, we have to, you know, stand our ground. And, you know, when our show is superior to most of these other shows that are being run right now. And and honestly, if there's a fan, they can, you know, they see all that going on. You know, I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure it out. You know what I'm trying to say. It's the quality of cars, the quality of drivers, you know, the equipment, everything. And the TBARA is really, you know, it's superior to a lot of other clubs, you know. And it's been around, and the members are sticking together. And, you know, that's the way it's going to be if we're going to, you know, rise to the occasion and be there when it's all over, you know.
No doubt about it.
We, you know, he doesn't need to drive too far. He can drive right down the way to DeSoto Super Speedway and, you know, and watch the baddest wing cars in the South run, you know, with the baddest stars. So that's the way we look at it, you know. And, you know, we're sorry that we can't run down there, but due to contractual agreement with the owner, we can't, you know, get it done. So we didn't cancel. They did. So.
Right.
That's the truth to the matter there.
All right. I hope that answers his question.
And those fans that go down there to ride down the road a little further and see a great show, because there's going to be one Saturday night. I can guarantee you that.
No doubt about it. Always a good show when the TBRA comes into town.
Show Saturday night.
Dave, what's on the tap for you this year?
That's about it. Try to hit most of these local races down here. I think I've probably got about 6 or 7 USAC midget pavement races lined up, and that's about it. I'm sure something else will probably come along, but really that's all for sure now, and we'll just have to see what else comes along.
Lenny, you got anything to wind this one up?
Come on down. Watch a show Saturday night. DeSoto Super Speedway.
All right. Gates open at 5.
In the south. Pardon?
Gates open at 5.
That's it.
All right.
Ready, and we'll be sitting there ready to rock and roll. Look forward to seeing everybody down there. Come on in the pits and talk to your favorite driver. If you want to be introduced to them, just walk up. They're all very friendly. You know, they know that the fans are their, got to have the fans to have a show. And they're more than welcome to come in there. A lot of guys got signed autographs. You know, we got T-shirts that we sell through the club and, sweatshirts and just all kind of stuff. And talk to the drivers, talk to the owners, look at the cars, bring the kids, bring grandma, grandpa, Anybody who likes to watch racing.
All right, and catch the fastest 30 laps on asphalt.
Well, we'll try our best.
Yeah. All right, Lenny, Dave, it's great talking to you guys. Dave, as always, a pleasure. Looking forward to the race this weekend. DeSoto Super Speedway, the TBRA Wing Sprints.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right. Well, there, Lenny and
there you have
Dave.
It.
Yeah, the TBRA. Catch them at a track near you soon. Their schedule. Of course, they are racing at DeSoto this weekend. Then they'll be back to DeSoto April 5th, May the 10th. And then they'll venture to Orlando June the 6th, New Smyrna June the 7th, DeSoto Super Speedway the 21st, and then Citrus County Speedway the 28th, back to DeSoto July the 12th. And then New Smyrna, DeSoto, Orlando, Citrus, right on down the line, racing right on through November. They'll end the season November the 8th at Citrus County Speedway.
Break time.
Break time. Let's take a break, Jack.
Our online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, this is David Strimmy, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Jack Smith and Rick Angies.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot, we hope you will reach for one of these. New Van James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in 3 funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Prime of Passion Fruit.
Woo, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
Tomorrow night,
yeah.
On the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, we're going to be talking with Randy LaJoy and also with President of the ASA, Ron Varney, and John West Townley, who we were going to have on tonight, but due to some scheduling conflicts, just couldn't get that one done. So John West Townley is going to spend some time with us tomorrow night on the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. John, John West has a six-race deal. He signed a contract with Roush Racing to drive six truck races for Roush Racing this year. And he's also running the complete full total ARCA package this year. He was up at the Hooters race at Lakeland this past weekend, and he's going to run a few Hooters races, but only when they don't conflict with his main deal, which is the entire ARCA schedule and the six
truck races.
John West, of course, is he won one last year. He was very successful running the ASA late model series, obviously, and somebody took an interest in him because he's now running for Roush, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's looks like he's got a busy schedule for 2008.
And then tomorrow night on Straight Line with Stevie at 8 o'clock, drag racing, I'm telling you. Stevie always comes up with some of the most interesting personalities in and around drag racing, and we are going to have some special updates. We've been working on these stories for the last week now, actually for the last month, but we've found a lot of new information out about this whole deal with the gasoline and issues in Canada that is on the verge of putting a halt to drag racing in Canada. It's got down to the wire now, and it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's, that could migrate right across the border.
Well, it's not could. It's just a matter of everybody that we've talked to in the industry is pretty much telling us that's it's going to happen. It's just simply a matter of time. And the thing is that one of the things that we consistently find when we do interviews with people about these subjects and associated subjects is that one of the biggest areas where motorsports promoters need to jack it up a bit, not a bit, a whole lot, is making the people in their communities, the business leaders and the government officials, much more aware of the economic impacts of racing and motorsports on the communities.
Well, that's something like the white paper up in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
The impact on racing, any of these tracks go away. The families, unless it's Frankie Lloyd's place where the family works for free up there, but there are families that depend on that income.
Oh, I guarantee you that if Wall Speedway, if the government leaders in Wall Speedway, without even researching it, I could just about put money on that. Those government leaders up there have not been, it ain't been hammered down their throats. This is what we bring to this community. This is the impact. You know, you worry about the sound noise and you worry about that kind of stuff, but you're not ever worrying about the economic impact, what this, not just stock car racing, drag racing and all forms of motorsports brings a tremendous, I mean, you think about just a local racetrack that has, say, 100 or so, a couple hundred drivers that race there during the course of a year. All of those drivers, they buy parts. The people who work at the track, that make their living off the racetrack, the drivers, the car builders, the people that supply the parts, the auto parts businesses, and it's a big, big deal.
Food, motels.
Yeah, even in a small little racetrack, it has an economic impact on the community.
Could you imagine the impact on Gibbtown if East Bay were to close?
Oh, tremendous. Well, not just that whole southern
area,
southern tier of Tampa would be, it would have a major impact.
Right.
You know, and that's true everywhere you go. I mean, you take the combination there's probably about 20, just in Florida alone, there's probably 20 counties where motorsports is significantly impacts the community there.
Yeah.
And that's true in every, same thing in Georgia, South Carolina, and everywhere else that you go. And that's the one thing that the promoters really need to get more involved with. And
being part of the community is probably one of the most important things in running a racetrack. It's essential.
It's essential, and in too many cases,
It's not done.
It's overlooked.
You have to spread the word of the racetrack beyond the front gates.
Absolutely. And those are things that the fans can't do. we can't do it for, you know, this is something that the promoters themselves have to do. I mean, they can use people like us to help them get it done.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that have to take the step forward and make that happen. And, you know, I would think that if these guys, and this is one of the things that we've talked about with race promoters, not necessarily track owners, because there's a difference between a track owner and a promoter. Somebody can own a racetrack without being a promoter.
Yep.
And somebody can be a promoter without running owner.
There's obviously four of them up in New Jersey.
Obviously. And
right. And like Jack said, we got to keep, you know, our racetracks going. You have to support your local racetrack. Get out there every week that you can. I know it's tough. You know, it's tough getting out there, and it's tough on everybody right now.
Yeah, but that's just one of the things that and over the course of this year, I'm sure we're gonna we will address that issue many times with promoters throughout the year, because the ones who we've run across recently who do see this, they're starting to make a little more noise about it, and I think before this year's out, there will probably be a bit of a change in that whole deal.
The whole deal will definitely move on.
And let's see. Do we have any other? Do you have any other announcements over there? Let's see. What do we got here?
I think we're probably coming down towards the white flag lap, as Bill Green used to say.
Of course, Bill Green, he was over at the USA International Speedway covering that the Hooters Pro Cup race for the Tampa Tribune, and he sent us some pretty good information about what went on there. And next week we're going to be covering short track action for sure at the Cummins up at Nashville.
Yeah.
I think it's March 29th.
And of course, we're keeping our eye on the local Florida racers for that Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month, and we want all you media-type personnel to keep your eyes out, because we're going to be asking you at the end of the month who you think should be Inside Florida Racing Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Month. And we've got a big announcement from them the first of the month, don't we, Jack?
Yep, coming up, that'll be on the Inside Florida Racing Show on Monday nights here on Real Racing USA, 7 to 9 p.m. And, of course, Rick and I are here every Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Real Racing USA Live.
We'll see you next Tuesday night.
And stick around. Trackside Tonight's coming up. Randy Dye and Joe Lineberry. And they're sending Billy Osborne off. Billy the Kid's going somewhere else. Stick around and check it out. It'll be there.